Arizona News Radio Jody Arias answering a wide number of questions about her relationship with Travis Alexander and why she even slept with him when she learned he had a preference for young boys.
I was under the impression that when he was able to sleep with a woman as opposed to fantasizing about a child, he felt like more normal as a man.
General Motors bringing 1,000 high-tech jobs to Chandler soon.
We're planning to begin interviewing immediately, and we have a temporary facility we'll be moving into and opening on April 1st.
Mesa police voicing concerns for a missing teen.
She's 17, but she's got a little bit dementish mental capacity. Sometimes she operates in what most people would think of around the 10 to 12-year-old age bracket.
Arizona's weather is going to be stormy by Friday.
I think its snow level is probably being about 7,000 feet to start out with, and then as we go through the course of the day Friday, we'll see those snow levels drop maybe closer to 6,000 feet.
George Tatter, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic report is brought to you by Hammer Mill Paper. Accident in Phoenix, I-17, southbound near 16th Street. That's off to the right. Watch out for that. Downtown Phoenix still got that accident in process. Off to the right, I-10 eastbound at 7th Street. In Tempe, there's a fender bender off to the side. U.S. 60 eastbound at McClintock Drive. In Phoenix also, there's a hazmat leak. Thomas Road west of 35th Avenue. And in Glendale, collision Northern Avenue west of 43rd Avenue. Let's have a check on your forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Well, for tomorrow, starting out a pretty nice day, we should top out at 78, but then increasing clouds, windy at times Thursday night into Friday as the rain begins, up to 3/4 of an inch here in the valley, snow down to 4,000 feet, and only low 60s. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Currently Midtown, it's 81 degrees. Your next news in 30 minutes when it breaks. Right here on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX, I'm Dustin Kappan. You're up to date.
GEICO presents 15 Minutes to Weather the Storm. I'm Tom Jeans. Disasters can strike quickly and without warning. It can force you to evacuate your neighborhood or confine you to your home. What would you do if basic services like water or electricity were cut off? Knowing what to do is your best protection. Learn more about family disaster plans through your local Red Cross. That's 15 Minutes to Weather the Storm. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO or geico.com.
Hey there. Yeah, you. Listen up. You gonna start a digging project? I don't care if you're a pro or just a guy planting a tree in the yard. You need to call 811 before you dig to get the utility lines marked for free. Utility lines can be buried in yards, under streets, alleys, even beneath vacant land. You hit one of those, and believe me, you won't be happy. Keep the neighborhood safe and keep yourself free of fines and repair costs. Know what's below. Call 811 before you dig.
Your safety is our priority at Southwest Gas.
When I grew up,
you're out of order.
I want to be a lawyer just like you.
You're out of order.
Good for you, son.
The whole trial is out of order.
If there's one thing America needs,
they're out of order.
It's more lawyers.
Oh. You got my pride hanging out of my bed.
Welcome to Legalese. This is your host, Jack Wilenchek. Dennis Wilenchek, as usual, is tied up in court and unable to make the show. But we have a very exciting show to present to you, our listening audience. First thing off, there's breaking news out of Chandler. General Motors has just announced that it will build a $20 million IT center in Chandler. And we have on the phone Mayor Tib Schraney, whose name I'm sure I just slaughtered, to talk about it. Mayor Tib Schraney, is that the correct pronunciation of your name?
Yes, Tib Schraney. You're
good.
Pretty close. I'll give you a good rating there.
Yeah, I try my best. So tell us about this breaking news. It's going to be an IT center in Chandler. Where exactly in Chandler?
Yeah, we had a significant announcement today in Chandler. The governor came out, General Motors came out, and the exact location of this project, it'll be a 200,000 square foot project, is at the 101 and the 202 in Chandler on the Price Road corridor.
Right.
In
okay.
Chandler. So it's in our high-tech corridor, and it'll be a significant expansion it'll be the first foray into Arizona for General Motors in terms of this kind of facility. It's an innovation center.
Yeah, why don't you explain what that means, an innovation center?
Yeah, because everybody's using innovation. We have about 4 innovation centers or facilities in Chandler now. But this particular one, they're going to do research and development for software at this facility.
Uh-huh.
They will be hiring up to 1,000 IT folks and related folks over the next 5 years. They will develop software here, and it's something they used to do. They used to outsource, but with the new ownership or the new leadership, I mean, in General Motors, my understanding is now they're going to do all that in-house. So they've located over the last 6 or 7 months, a year, four of these innovation centers, one in Georgia near Atlanta, one in Austin, Texas, one in Michigan, and then we won the competition in the Western United States. And so their Western United States presence for this facility will be in Chandler. And so it's a significant happening for us in the state, really.
No, that's great news. And, you know, when you explain it's basically a place for software development, I mean, those are not low-wage jobs. Those are good jobs. You know, I know that oftentimes there's an announcement there's going to be a big presence here from a big company, and then it turns out it's not the best kind of job, but that's a good job. That's a good activity.
Yeah, it's high-wage jobs, but it's also going to employ some of our recent graduates who, because of the Great Recession, people that have graduated in these IT fields or computer fields or technology fields maybe haven't been able to get a job. 30 to 35% of their hires in this facility will be, you know, college people that are just graduating from college in those areas of expertise. So it does give good hope for our college graduates within in the region for some job opportunities. And like you say, they are going to be good paying jobs and really professional jobs. And so that was really good news as we unveiled this today.
How long was this in the making?
This has been in the making since early last summer. We've been working on it. We were in a competition for it, like I say, with other cities in the Western United States, and we were just able to make that announcement today. So you can see these kind of things, they take off, especially when you're dealing with, you know, number five company in the Fortune 500 with a worldwide presence. It takes a lot of hoops to go through and hurdles to hurdle. To get something like this announced, but
yeah.
We worked with them since last summer on this.
Wow, that's pretty quick.
Yeah.
What reasons in particular did GM, you know, if it gave any, give to locate in Chandler?
You know, as they look at it, they look at the educational and the opportunity to hire their employees with the expertise they need, and they look at like a 500 or 600 mile radius from Chandler. Well, that gets you into other states too, and they look at the educational components and how they might hire people in the workforce. They really liked the workforce that was going to be available in this area, and so that was one of the reasons. I think the proximity to both the West Coast and maybe some other areas played into it. But that's true. He talked specifically, Mr. Mott from GM, talked about the cost of living in Arizona. He felt for the employees that they wanted to attract that we had a very good and low cost of living here, and he thought that was a significant factor that played into it.
Yeah, you do hear that a lot. The cost of living here is good.
Yeah, when you compare us to California, where their cost of living is pretty exorbitant, or maybe some of our other competition, we have really good cost of living.
Yeah, and of course, you know, the regulations here certainly, as compared to a place like California, are a lot easier on the eye for business like GM. Were there any incentives involved in bringing GM here?
There was some incentives both at the city level and the state level. The economic climate that we work in today, incentives are part of that equation. We think we're prudent with the taxpayers' money, but there will be incentives. I can't speak to the state and what exactly they did, but there'll be incentives, and they're based on jobs. Our end of it is based on jobs.
Sure. You mentioned the state. I know you mentioned earlier the governor was involved. You know, and I take it probably there were other organizations too, like, you know, the Greater Phoenix Economic Council and those kind of guys. If you had to you know, give one organization or one group that had the biggest part to play in getting GM to build a $20 million facility in Chandler, who would you pick?
Well, you know, I hate to pick winners and losers. I look at this as a total team effort. So obviously you had the Arizona Commerce Authority under the governor's leadership that played a key role. You had GPEC and under Barry Broom's leadership play a key role. And then obviously the city of Chandler, because obviously we have to put up an incentive, so we're very involved with our end of it and our management and economic development staff. So, you know, I think everybody played their role, and I don't know how I would characterize who played the biggest role, but bottom line is you have to kind of work together to get them and be on the same page, and I think we all were. And we saw how significant this is because we're trying to attract more research and development into the state. And so we had an announcement, you know, 6 months ago with Intel on the west side of Chandler, a significant research facility. And so this kind of thing just gives us a little bit of better balance in that area.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of what we want to attract is research and development, along with manufacturing, if we can.
Yeah, you've got we'll talk some more about that Price Corridor there and what else is going on in that same area.
Price Corridor is the most dynamic corridor in our state. It's an innovation and technology hub, probably the premier innovation and technology hub in the southwest United States. Down the corridor, you've got companies like Intel Corporation, Orbital Sciences, eBay, PayPal, Infusionsoft, Realty Digital Trust, and on and on. So we have a good presence of high-tech and innovative companies, and Wells Fargo has a significant campus presence there also.
That's serious stuff, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's a premier corridor in the southwest United States for high-tech and innovation companies.
Does this deal open the possibility for additional partnerships with GM?
You know, I was thinking that as I was talking to them today. We didn't explore it, but nothing would please us more as if they really end up liking Chandler,
right,
and Arizona, if they have other arms of their business that could locate here, and we're going to put our best foot forward so that maybe we can get other parts of their business in Arizona and in Chandler, hopefully.
Yeah, because I know that was the story with Intel, is that originally they had like a data backup center, kind of an ancillary, you know, supporting presence here, and then they liked it so much, eventually they moved the headquarters here. So hopefully that'll happen with GM too, right?
Yeah, that would be the goal, because we've had the manufacturing component, the high-volume manufacturing from Intel at the Ocotillo campus in South Chandler for years. But we wanted to get a portion of their research and development.
Yeah. All right.
So finally, this year we got that research and development arm, a $300 million expansion at the West Chandler.
Willinchek & Bartness, recently named Arizona's top real estate law firm, provides the quality business litigation and mediation services that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Dennis Willinchek was voted Best Trial Attorney by Arizona Foothills Magazine 2013 and named one of Arizona's top-rated lawyers for professional yet very personal legal representation. Call Willinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Save a life. Don't drink and drive on St. Patrick's Day. This safety tip from Hypnotic Inc., serving Arizona for over 7 years. Hypnotic Inc. is a full-service screen printing company. If you need custom T-shirts for your next event, sports team, or charity, look to Hypnotic Inc. To place an order, call 602-633-4658. Again, 602-633-4658, or visit online at hypnoticincaz.com. That's hypnoticincaz.com. No additional or hidden fees. Hypnotic Inc., people who care.
NARPRO.com, take 4.
If you're looking for a great mechanic, go to NARPRO.com. Why? Because all NARPRO.com members are independent, family-owned shops that get to know you, your car, and your budget. NARPRO.com, your link to great, honest auto repair.
Talk to your customers when they're on the go and get them to go to your business by using the instant push communication of a mobile business app designed just for you. Your mobile business app can offer coupons or specials and schedule reservations or appointments. Faxing is so last century and email is headed for the dustbin of history. Texting is the new talking. Talk to your customers with your own customized mobile business app. Call 602-721-2020. That's 602-721-2020.
Catch the Dennis Miller Show. Weekdays 10 till noon. On Independent Talk. 1100 KFNX.
Hi, friends. Scott Luther, the King of Gold and Silver. Join my protest against Wall Street and these big bankers who want to steal your hard-earned money.
Listen, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, 12 to 1 p.m., Saturday, 6 to 7 p.m., and Sunday, 6 to 7 a.m. Ride the Scott Luther Gold and Silver Express to financial freedom by buying silver.
Just buy silver. Turn $5K into $25K, $50K into $250,000.
Call 888-551-2646, 888-551-2646, or go to lrccoins.com.
Ever wonder how to get more customers? Mobile advertising is a unique and effective way to advertise your business with leading mobile billboards. Your business is advertised on our mobile advertising trucks and will get seen by as many as 500,000 commuters in the valley daily. Want to know more? Go to leadingproductions.com/KFNX today and claim your exclusive offer for KFNX listeners. Remember, leadingproductions.com/KFNX.
Hey, welcome back to Legalese. Your host, Jack Wilinchek, and my immediate apologies go out to Mayor of Chandler, Jay Tibshirani, not just for butchering his name probably for the second time, but also because we had to cut to a break there real quick. But he was on to announce that General Motors is locating a $20 million major facility in Chandler. That news just came out today. Basically a software development center. They're calling it an innovation center. So if you're in the software development business, if you're an IT guy, that's good news, and you're looking for a job. Going to employ more than 1,000 people out there in Chandler in the Price Corridor. All right, so that I guess staying on that subject of exciting things going on, information technology, I want to talk to, I guess, the rest of the show, Mark Sveda, about crowdfunding. Crowdfunding is a big new thing, or one of the many big new things. I guess there's always a big new thing in the IT world or the internet world. Crowdfunding, maybe I should just throw it over to you. First of all, Mark, thanks for coming on the show.
Jack, thanks for having me.
Why don't you explain what crowdfunding is?
Okay, crowdfunding in its simplest terms is basically using your social media contacts to raise money using the internet. And just to give you some quick background on that, what you need to do is you prepare your project or your cause in terms of what you want to raise money for. You prepare a video that supports that cause or that project. And then that video gets posted on a platform or a funding portal, and we can get into those here in a few minutes. And you notify your all your social media contacts that your project's online on that portal, and you ask them to contribute money to that project.
So first of all, it's a way of turning, if you have a lot of interaction, if you spend a lot of time on social media, it's a way of finally turning that into some money, right?
Well, it's a way of turning something into money. That's correct. One of the prime reasons that crowdfunding has come to be where it is today is the fact that it's very, very difficult these days for small businesses and entrepreneurs to get money. Banks are not willing to lend money to entrepreneurs to support a business idea or to very new businesses. I was speaking to a friend of mine who works for U.S. Bank last week, and I was asking him about some of their lending parameters. And they will not make a business loan to a business that has not been in business for at least 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are an entrepreneur, the money just isn't available. So crowdfunding is a way to get that money.
Now, like I say, everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people like to spend time on Facebook and social media. And it's a way of finally, making a profit out of that, I guess. Or not necessarily profit, but, of doing something productive with social media. So, as I was saying to you off the air, and being that we do the show about the law, the first thing that strikes my mind, and maybe this is sad in a way, is that is about some of the legal regulations that probably concern crowdfunding. But, we'll push it off to the end of the show because, the law is depressing, right? So tell us more. What are the kind of projects that you've seen, people go to crowdfunding? And maybe, before we can get there, we should just talk some more. Exactly what we're talking about is there are websites on the internet, right?
That's correct.
Go ahead and
Let me just tell you, I'll just mention a few of the major websites. The major website for crowdfunding that's probably been around, is the most famous, is called Kickstarter.com. And they started in Manhattan. And they have funded the largest crowdfunding project to date, which has been over $10 million for a project, and that was for something called the Pebble Watch, which is the watch is about 1.5 by 1.5 inches square, and it's super thin, and that watch interacts with your cell phone or your any other handheld device that you have or your computer. Like, I need another smaller screen to look at an email or a text message.
Well, what does it do, though? What does it do exactly? It's a watch that – oh, it's just like an extra display for
– It basically interacts with your cell phone, or you can get emails on it, or
right,
it's just more of a convenient means of getting information. They had taken that project to venture capitalists, and they were not able to get funding.
Uh-huh.
Their initial funding goal was $100,000, so they blew that – you know, they blew the barn doors off of that by raising over $10 million. And this is a form of something called patronage crowdfunding, where in exchange for them, for people contributing money to the project, they get something back, a tangible product. In this case, that tangible product was one or more of the watches. So people who made contributions would receive watches. Those watches have now been produced and are being given to the or sent out to the persons that made the contributions now.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, you say it's called patronage crowdfunding, and already the lawyer in me is thinking there's a reason why it's classified in that particular way. And, you know, I can't resist it, so we may as well go there. you know, typically when you offer securities, they have to be registered, and there's a whole set of laws that come into play with that. So, you know, where my head goes as a lawyer is, well, gee, if you're asking a whole bunch of people in various places, potentially in different states, to invest in your company or to essentially give you a loan or, you know, essentially buy a bond, doesn't that implicate securities laws?
Yeah, it absolutely does. And one of the things that has occurred in the crowdfunding area, there's a specific law that's been passed, and it's called the Jumpstart Our Business Startups Act or the Jobs Act, that specifically provides for what I call equity crowdfunding, which is when someone goes out and solicits someone they don't know to invest in their company, and in exchange for that investment, they get a stock or membership interest in the company rather than getting a product back like patronage. The law was passed and signed by President Obama on April 4 of last year, and they had given the Securities and Exchange Commission 270 days to write the rules that goes along with the law. And that would have been needed to be done by January 1 of this year. Unfortunately, that hasn't been done yet. So we're still waiting for equity crowdfunding to become available. People who are interested can still prepare to get ready for equity crowdfunding. And equity crowdfunding will allow entrepreneurs or small businesses to raise up to $1 million each year in equities to support their business idea.
Right. Which is essentially, you know, like offering stock.
That's correct.
Yeah.
But the whole purpose of the equity crowdfunding law is to carve out an exception to the securities laws.
Right.
And then there's going to be specific rules and regulations both on the portals where the investment is placed, and there's also rules and regulations on those persons who want to use equity crowdfunding. In terms of what information they have to disclose in order to be able to get this money. There's other protections built in to the law. For example, the funding portals will have to be registered with the SEC and FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority.
If I can stop you just a moment, when you say portals, you're basically referring to these kind of websites.
That's correct. That would be like Kickstarter.com.
Yeah.
Some of the other ones, RocketHub.com, Indiegogo.com. So
like
there's, I think I'm just doing some checking over the past day. I think there's over 2,000 of these crowdfunding portals or websites that are out there.
Crowdfunding portals, I guess.
So they're growing by leaps and bounds.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, when anything grows by leaps and bounds, the government has to stick its nose in somewhere and regulate things. But what you're saying basically is that that's in the works, and the SEC just hasn't come out with its particular regulations for these things. But it will. And until then, I think what I'm gathering, patronage crowdfunding is you know, would not even potentially be subject to these kind of laws, and is you know, totally free of any kind of legal issues whatsoever. Well, I won't say whatsoever, but any you know, SEC issues.
That's correct.
Yeah. So the difference there being patronage crowdfunding is what kind of means what?
Well, patronage crowdfunding simply means that in exchange for contributing money to that particular startup business, that the person who contributes the money is going to get something back right. in return, typically a tangible product. For example, if someone is an artist and they want to commission or to raise money to do a particular artistic rendering or prints or lithographs, if people wanted to contribute money to that particular artist, then that artist would agree to give them a signed print back, for example, after they completed the project. For example, you're doing a film, you would invite persons to the premiere of your film or give them free tickets to the film. Patronage crowdfunding is very it's used a lot by video gamers, and they get money to develop their video games in exchange and patronage. They give video games back to the people who made the contributions.
Yeah, it seems like the whole idea of crowdfunding in particular work especially well with people who are developing, you know, IT products like software or new websites. You know, that's at least been my sense of it, is that the people who are most likely to use this new kind of way of raising funding are probably a lot of IT people. But maybe that's just because it's new and they have the most access and awareness of it. You know, we're coming up here on a half-hour break. I'm talking to Mark Sveda about crowdfunding. And, you know, I got to plug your book here. I know you have an e-book. Go ahead and plug it real quick before we go to the break.
Okay, I do have an e-book that's available online. And it's called Raise a Million Online, What Everybody Needs to Know About Crowdfunding.
All right. Jack Wilczek, KFNX 1100 AM.
NBC News Radio, I'm Melissa Rayberger. The House of Representatives has approved legislation to keep the federal government going until the end of the fiscal year on September 30th.
The yeas are 267, the nays are 151.
Kentucky Republican Hal Rogers explains the measure also lets the Pentagon move funds around to cushion the sequester cuts.
To help the military cope with the restrictions so that our nation is adequately defended by our men and women in uniform.
On Wall Street, the Dow set another record high, closing up 42 points at 14,296. The S&P 500 added nearly 2 points, and the Nasdaq dipped down a point. Investors rallied today on word companies added 198,000 employees to payrolls last month. Overseas, armed fighters in the Golan Heights have captured more than 20 UN peacekeepers in the zone separating Israeli and Syrian troops. The UN Security Council is demanding their immediate and unconditional release. This is NBC News Radio.
Arizona News Radio, Jody Arias answers questions from jurors about the night that she killed Travis Alexander and what she said was self-defense.
It's hard to describe the fear. It was like mortal terror. It really was. When he was trying to get on top of me, I thought he was, and then he threatened my life. I really thought he was had intentions to kill me.
General Motors bringing 1,000 high-tech jobs to Chandler.
We're very excited about the world-class college and university resources and deep pool of technical expertise located here in the Phoenix metropolitan area.
Mesa police looking for a 17-year-old girl that may have run off with an older friend.
She's a Hispanic female, about 5'4", 110 pounds.
Two Santan Valley students suspended for a hit list with teachers and students.
With the recent school shootings across the country, threats like this need to be taken seriously.
Mark Kelly and former Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords talk about gun control in Tucson.
This discussion is really not about the Second Amendment. It's about public safety.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic report is brought to you by Advil Congestion Relief. In Phoenix, got an accident off to the right, loop 202 westbound near 24th Street. Also a collision off to the right, I-17 southbound near 16th Street. And those hazmat crews are still on scene, Thomas Road west of 35th Avenue. When cold hurts, try Advil Congestion Relief. Tough on pain, tough on colds. Now let's have a check on your forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Well, for tomorrow, starting out a pretty nice day, we should top out at 78. But then increasing clouds, windy at times Thursday night into Friday as the rain begins. Up to 3/4 of an inch here in the valley. Snow down to 4,000 feet and only low 60s. Jim Howell, Little Pentatalk, 1100 KFNX.
Currently in Midtown, it's 81 degrees. Your next news in 30 minutes on When It Breaks. Right here on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX, I'm Dustin Kappa, and you're up to date.
Willinchek & Bartness, recently named Arizona's top real estate law firm, provides the quality business litigation and mediation services that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Dennis Willinchek was voted Best Trial Attorney by Arizona Foothills Magazine 2013 and named one of Arizona's top-rated lawyers for professional yet very personal legal representation. Call Willinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Hi, Dave and Rick Elton,
the real estate bros on KFNX.
Here to save you thousands with our new 4% discount listing.
That's right, only 4%. Elton Realty will list your home.
Full service. Talk about no hassle.
For more info, call 480-451-3318.
Underwater?
Get paid up to $35,000 to complete short sales.
Or download the Elton Realty app and get listings right to your phone.
That's 480-451-3318.
Elton Realty, real estate in the palm of your hand.
Hi, everyone. It's Eric Miller, and I'm a real estate nerd. I love this stuff. Join me on Saturday at 2 p.m. for the Radio Open House. There's something for everybody. I'm going to have home professionals and you know, home things, all kinds of homely stuff. Anyway, Saturday, 2 p.m.
He's the leader you love to listen to.
We the people are still in charge of this country.
Now you'll hear him every day on your radio.
Cain off the chain.
Herman Cain.
The sources I have for information are unique and better because they're based upon real life experiences.
Herman Cain, afternoons 5 to 7. Right here on Independent Talk 1100, KFNX.
Freedom. You have the right to remain silent. That's what I want. If you give up the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Freedom. You have the right to speak with an attorney.
Get me my lawyer!
Freedom. And to have the attorney present during questioning. If you so desire and cannot afford one, an attorney will be appointed for you without charge before questioning. Now, do you understand each of these rights I've explained to you?
Get me my lawyer! I've been humiliated! Freedom.
Welcome back to the Legalese. This is Jack Willinchek on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. And the show today, we're talking about crowdfunding, which is, you know, I guess one of those buzzwords that you hear about and you may not necessarily appreciate or understand. I know that prior to the show, I had no idea what crowdfunding meant. But I had some vague notion, though, of what it is, which is the sites like Kickstarter.com or others where, you know, if you got a great idea or I guess any idea, you can put it on there and people can contribute. You know, basically fund your new business or your new idea. And, you know, to me as a lawyer, my head immediately thinks, well, you know, this is a little dangerous because, usually when you want to do that, there's a lot of securities laws you have to deal with. But what we've been talking about, on the show, and I've been talking with Mark Cevada, who happens to be an attorney and is also, pretty up on this subject. In fact, I see that you've got a website here called crowdfundingattorney.com.
That's correct.
So he's Mr. Crowdfunding Attorney I have on the show here today. I'm very, very pleased to have you. I guess there's a lot of stuff that's going on in this right now legally. The SEC is going to release some kind of, you know, some rules concerning the way this has to be done. But I think there you can't really argue about whether this is a great idea. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people out there. Well, you know, I was just asking you off the break, I mean, how did you get into this? And you said that you know a lot of small business people who, you know, can't get funding and they need something like this.
Yeah, that's correct. I initially heard about crowdfunding on a radio. It wasn't this radio station, different radio station.
And I thought, you listened to another radio station.
And I thought, you know, that's a great idea. I have clients that have a very difficult time finding money. In order to grow their business, and this is an ideal way in order to accumulate capital if you have a good business idea and get your product into the marketplace and find out if there is a consumer interest in that particular product.
Yeah, because traditionally, and, you know, I remember this from my law school days, there's – there's a certain, so many ways traditionally to get some serious funding. You know, you got to meet with banks, with angel investors. There's a whole hierarchy of getting, you know, serious capital, serious funding. This is like a whole new way of doing it.
It's a whole new way of doing it, but, you know, at the same time, it's not easy. There's a lot of work that goes into preparing a crowdfund campaign.
Mm-hmm.
What do you start with when you're starting a business idea? You start with a business plan. So you have to produce a business plan. After you get your business plan done, you need to think about, okay, if I'm going to do crowdfunding, I need to put my video together. I have to get my crowd together. If you don't have any presence in social media, you're not going to be successful with a crowdfund campaign. So you need to, if you're a business, you get out there, you get your Facebook going, your LinkedIn, your Twitter, your Pinterest,
yeah,
all these particular sites to generate contact persons so that when you're ready to go and post your video on a funding platform, then you're going to be able to notify those people, go look and see what I'm doing and contribute money.
Yeah, you got to have a certain presence on the internet, I would think, to make this work. And whatever it is that you're trying to do, I would think, would also have to have some kind of an appeal that works with that kind of a group. The reason I say that is that, of course, when social media, you know, it's really first started taking off, there were a lot of businesses that got interested in it. But, you know, I think a couple of weeks ago even I saw an article in the paper in the Republic about how a lot of business people especially are kind of, you know, backing away from the whole social media approach because they realize, well, it has its place. I mean, social media is social. It's not necessarily a business thing. Not every business in the world needs to be, you know, hawking itself to everybody on the internet because it's just not their clientele. So I think that crowdfunding, it has its sort of appeal where, you know, there's a lot of people on the internet, there's a lot of people who contribute money, but I would think that it really, in the end, it probably works better with certain businesses rather than others. Would you agree with that?
No, I don't necessarily agree with that. I really think that the sky is the limit when it comes to different types of ideas that people can bring to the marketplace. I mean, there are some things out there that are really different. Let me just give you one, and it's perhaps not appropriate these days because it deals with guns.
Okay.
And an inventor or a entrepreneur came up with an idea for a gun that's called Bug Assault. And what this particular gun is...
Bug Assault.
Bug Assault.
Right, right.
And what it does is it takes a salt pellet, that's your bullet, and you load it into this gun, and amazingly enough, you shoot flies with it. So apparently the fly swatter is out of vogue. But let me tell you how successful this project was. I think their initial funding goal was $50,000 for the product. And again, this is a patronage-type crowdfunding project. They raised over
If you contribute, then you'd get a bug assault.
That's correct.
Okay.
They raised over $500,000 on Indiegogo to get this project off the ground. And that's something that's a little bit different.
Yeah. But see, I think that's what I'm trying to say is that you have to be something a little bit different or a little bit catchy or, you know, kind of things that float around on the internet or like have you heard about the Harlem Shake? That's the newest thing on the internet. Like this video of people doing the Harlem Shake. It's stuff like that that seems to really catch on the internet. It's stuff that's very, I don't know, it grabs your attention immediately. And I guess what I really want to say is kind of stupid stuff.
let me tell you about a more mainstream project. And this is something that caught my eye today. I was looking at Kickstarter before I came down to the studio. And there was a particular project on Kickstarter that really caught my eye. And what it is, it's a company called OriginalGrain.com. And what they're producing are watches. And these watches have wooden faces. And I looked at these and I thought, wow, these really, really look nice. And their funding goal was to raise $10,000. And in a month, they blew by that. They raised $122,100 as of today.
Wow.
And this is a typical product. And I looked at that, and I have a son that's 15 and my twins are 13. And they're absolutely into watches. And I looked at that and I thought, you know, not only is that something I would be interested in contributing to now because I get watches back in consideration for my contribution, that would be an ideal product for equity crowdfunding once the equity and crowdfunding rules go into effect. Because I thought, I like that product. That will sell. If I got that product into Macy's or Nordstrom's, people are going to buy that, or you get it into, you know, I don't know, Quicksilver. I guess that's one of the kids' places. That's going to be a successful project. I would be interested in investing in that.
Right, and seriously investing in it. Yeah, no, that's serious stuff. You know, even 10 grand to raise 10 grand off the internet, I would think would be serious stuff. How are these people, how are they doing it? I mean, is it just, I know you mentioned earlier you got to put a good video up, and they're making some a really, really good pitch on the internet, and that's the trick to it?
No, I think that the most important aspect of any crowdfunding pitch is going to be your video. And I also think what the product looks like. If you're going to go on Kickstarter or Indiegogo or Rocket Hub and you're going to look at these projects, the first thing is, what does it look like?
Yeah.
Does this particular...
Reminds me of looking for something on eBay, maybe. I mean, that's... Because eBay is a thing... You know, eBay is serious stuff. You can actually buy things on eBay, you know, and, you know, as opposed to many things that you can do on the internet, it's something that actually affects your life and has meaning. And, you know, so when you're looking for something on eBay, it's real. I mean, people are paying money for stuff on there. And it's the same kind of thing. It's like, well, you know, then it's a serious science, I guess, the way you pitch something on eBay, just like it's a serious science, it's the way you do this. Yeah, I guess a good video, good pictures of the thing. What else?
Well, I think it's also the way that you present your product, because your typical video is no more than 3 to 5 minutes long. So you really need to be able to catch the potential contributor's attention and say, okay, this is something that either I'm interested in because for a social purpose, or it's something that I'm interested in, whether for fun or for it might be lucrative over time. Maybe you want to meet the persons who are running that business. So I think that's, you know, it's really, in my opinion, comes down to the video. And are you instilling in the potential contributor that want, need, and desire to contribute?
All right. All right, we got just a little bit of time here before the break. I'm talking to Mark Sveda, who is, I guess, the crowdfunding attorney. He's you can check him out at crowdfundingattorney.com. He's also the author of an e-book, right? Called,
yes.
Raise a Million Online, What Every Entrepreneur Needs to Know About Crowdfunding. This is Jack Wilencheck on Independent Talk, Legalese, 1100 KFNX.
Wilencheck & Bartness, recently named Arizona's top real estate law firm, provides the quality business litigation and mediation services that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Dennis Wilencheck was voted best trial attorney by Arizona Foothills Magazine 2013 and named one of Arizona's top-rated lawyers. For professional, yet very personal legal representation, call Wilencheck & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
If you simply start taking Social Security benefits, taking them for face value, you could be leaving tens of thousands of dollars on the table. But if you knew a few little-known strategies, you may have the potential to earn tens of thousands of dollars more, even as much as $100,000 more in Social Security income. So take the first step and get a copy of our complimentary report, The Social Security Decisions Guide. 877-500-0350. That's 877-500-0350.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD, host of Healthline. Join me live to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Our product line, Quantum Nutrition Labs, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works. This month, adrenal support is on special. Adrenal glands are the overworked, undernourished whipping boys of the body, beaten by stress, caffeine, and poor sleep. Treat your adrenal glands to their food of choice, adrenal support, for 8 to 12 weeks and really feel the difference. Buy two bottles, get the third one free. Call 800-370-3447 to take advantage of this limited time offer. That's 800-370-3447. Experience for yourself a quantum shift to great health.
Healthline with Dr. Bob Marshall every Saturday at 9 a.m. here on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
What do a party in a county jail? Prisoners out of there, they begin to wail. The men are jumping and the joint begin to sway. You should have heard Dr. Jimmy say, let it rock.
Welcome back to Legalese. Your host, Jack Wilencheck. And again, we've been talking about crowdfunding today, one of those new internet things. My guest is Mark Sveda, who is on a site called crowdfundingattorney.com. I take it that's your personal website. He also has an ebook available on Amazon called Raise a Million Online, What Every Entrepreneur Needs to Know About Crowdfunding. And he's also the technical editor of a forthcoming book called Crowdfund Investing for Dummies. So welcome back to the show, Mark.
Thank you.
I guess that's what our show's theme has been today, crowdfund investing for dummies, in particular the dummy who's speaking to all of you in the audience right now. You know what, I brought up in the last segment, and I'll say it again. I mean, my personal opinion on a lot of social media is, I don't know, I think I got burnt out on it. I think a lot of people have kind of gotten that. In particular, there's a lot of talk about how it could be useful for business. I'm still of the opinion that for a lot of businesses, they probably are wasting their time with social media. It's better for them just to go through traditional routes of doing business, getting clients. But there's definitely a certain kind of business that makes a lot of use of things like social media. Certain kind of businesses that need that, or, you know, where it's particularly appealing. Like club promote. I don't know why that comes to my mind. I still have some presence on Facebook, and I'm always getting these messages from club promoters and dance promoters. They love Facebook, and it's great for them because there's no other way for them to, you know, kind of get to the people they need to get to. So my thought is, well, something like crowdfunding, which is, you know, I guess you basically go online with an idea and you ask for people to fund it. My somewhat cynical thought is, for a lot of people out there who have great ideas, want to start up a new company, it's probably better for them to go the traditional route before they do something like this. But I know, Mark, you disagree, and you're saying, this has a lot of potential for everybody.
No, I am not definitely as cynical as you are.
Nobody's cynical as I am.
No, I'm a big proponent of social media. We were just talking in the break. I love to read the newspaper. And I'm just amazed about how the number of advertisements in the newspaper have decreased over time.
Sure.
My boys, 15 and 13, they never read the newspaper. I guess I derive a benefit of actually holding the paper. I'm not so excited about reading things online, although I have to do that. But I think that if you are not using social media as a business, you're missing the boat. And your business is not going to grow and thrive as much as it could in the future if you're not going to use social media.
Well, social media side, I mean, what about crowdfunding? Do you think that's something that every entrepreneur needs to be looking at, or do you think that's something that do you think that could ever take the place of kind of the traditional methods of getting serious funding and angel investors, guys who are seriously committed to putting down the dough?
Well, even right now, angel investors are only going to look typically at projects that are already far enough along that they can make an investment and bring it to the marketplace. Typically, if you're an entrepreneur and you have a business idea, what you're going to do is you're going to talk to your parents or your relatives and seek money from them. You're going to max out your credit cards.
Right.
And maybe you're going to have from those sources $10, $15, $25, maybe $100,000. To get your product into the marketplace and see whether or not it works. With crowdfunding, you're able to do that. But at the same time, you have other resources that are available to you because you can reach out to these people that are making contributions to your project and say, okay, how can I make it better? A lot of times people get particularly interested in a project or a product, and they want to help the entrepreneur that's come up with the idea. They like the idea. They want to promote it. So that's another reason that you want to do crowdfunding, because you can draw on the power of the crowd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, I think I really am just way too cynical, because already my head is turning to, so what if you invest in somebody's new idea on the internet, and what if it fails? then what do you do? Because the internet has a certain anonymity to it. Are you going to be able to track that person down? I take it that's part of the whole, the regulations that are going to affect and making sure that people can be tracked down after they,
well,
go ahead.
That is the whole power of the internet, because the thinking was when equity crowdfunding, the idea came up, was that, the securities laws were enacted in the 1930s. They no longer apply.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a problem now identifying people identifying the promoters, getting information on them, because this information's online. And the theory is that once people put their product out there and put their personal information out there online, if they're phonies or they're committing fraud, the crowd is going to quickly find out about that. So the crowd is going to be essentially a regulatory force to lessen the potentiality for fraud in this particular area. I mean, anybody can get victimized by a company that's in fact registered their securities with the SEC. We have all of these Ponzi schemes that have occurred during the mortgage crisis. So, you know, it comes down to buyer beware. If you're going to invest in a project, either love it because you like the cause, you like the project, you like the people that are involved in it, or don't invest.
Is it going to be something in the nature of filing reports, filing annual reports, that kind of thing under the SEC, the new SEC regulations for crowdfunding? Are there other safeguards to make sure that you know, it's not just the people who are doing it, the crowd that's, you know, watching over? What do you call the person who puts something on there? The crowdfundee? I don't know.
The projector. I don't know.
The entrepreneur.
But anyway, there are a number of protections. And a lot of the regulatory burden falls upon the funding portal in the terms of equity crowdfunding, because they're going to have to vet the businesses that are seeking to do the equity crowdfunding. They're going to have to educate prospective or potential investors. They're going to have to get them to acknowledge that they may lose all of their investment. Another protection is that investors are going to have a right of rescission, much like if you get a home equity loan, you have a 3-day right of rescission. They haven't determined how long that's going to be yet, but that's another form of protection. The money will not be released until the company reaches its fundraising goal. For example, there are financial requirements based for disclosure, depending on how much money you want to raise, $100,000, $500,000, or $1 million, in those ranges. You have to have a verifiable business plan. There has to be background checks done on the officers, directors, and 20% plus shareholders or members of the company. So there are quite a few protections in place to make sure that people don't get scammed on these things.
No, that's good, because I mean, again, maybe I'm just too cynical, but that does come to my mind. Is I'm thinking, well, if I actually wanted to contribute money to one of these things on the internet, I get concerned about that even on something like eBay. You know, what's stopping this guy from just sending sending the product to me? But now that you point that out, I mean, that's one of the safeguards in eBay too, at least, is that if he doesn't, you know, send it, then he can file a bad report on eBay about the guy, and the guy gets a bad rating on eBay, and it does have that kind of safeguard to it, natural checks and balances. But on that same line of questioning there, how much do people typically – I mean, can I just contribute a dollar to – are there certain minimums that the entrepreneur sets for people to contribute? Or?
Yeah, there's certain regulations in terms of when this goes into effect, what investors can actually invest. For example, if your net worth or annual income is below $100,000, you can contribute the greater of $2,000 or 5% of the annual income or net worth of the investor. So basically, you know, there are certain limits in terms of what you can do. If you make over $100,000, you can contribute up to 10% of your annual income or net worth up to an aggregate amount of $100,000. So the most you can invest per year as an investor would be $100,000, and that's distributed over how many ever projects you invest in. Your absolute limit's going to be $100,000.
So that's a maximum limit.
That's correct.
Is there some nature of a minimum limit, or is that just?
Yeah, it's going to be the greater of 2,000 or 5% of your annual income or net worth.
The greater of that's maximum. But I'm saying, is there a minimum limit? Say, I want to.
Well, no, you could try to contribute a dollar, but here's the problem that you're gonna run into.
Yeah.
Because there are so much. Obligations on the part of the company and the funding portal with all this disclosure, I would think that they're going to say, okay, the minimum investment is going to be X dollars. Otherwise, it doesn't make economic sense for either the company or the funding portal to do all the work, disseminate all the information to make it economically feasible.
Yeah, and that seems natural to me. They'll probably set some realistic limits. I don't know what those are going to be. I mean, what do you think? Like something like $50, you know, at the minimum? Or I mean, do you have any – any grasp of that.
I really don't, but I would think that if I was setting up a portal, I don't know if I would want to have it any less than at least $1,000, because you have annual reporting requirements to all these people also. That's somewhat made somewhat easier due to the fact that you can, I'm assuming that they're going to be able to do email notifications to investors, so it's not like you have to send it out in the mail.
Yeah.
So in that case, it doesn't cost as much. And with innovations in information technology, it's also easier to disseminate that information, which would bring down the cost of disclosure.
Yeah, no, I think that's a key point there. All right, I've been talking to Mark Cepeda, who you can check him out at crowdfundingattorney.com, or check out his ebook available on Amazon called Raise a Million Online, What Every Entrepreneur Needs to Know About Crowdfunding. Also technical editor of a book that's going to be released called Crowdfund Investing for Dummies. Thanks again for coming on the show, Mark.
Jack, thanks for inviting me. Absolutely. I really appreciate your time today.
Absolutely. And I appreciate the time of those of you out there in the listening audience. This is Jack Wilencheck on Legalese Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Wilencheck & Bartness, recently named Arizona's top real estate law firm, provides the quality business litigation and mediation services that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Dennis Wilencheck was voted best trial attorney by Arizona Foothills Magazine 2013 and named one of Arizona's top-rated lawyers. For professional, yet very personal legal representation, call Wilencheck & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
He's the leader you love to listen to.
We the people are still in charge of this country.
Now you'll hear him every day on your radio.
Cain off the chain.
Herman Cain.
The sources I have for information are unique and better because they're based upon real life experiences.
Herman Cain, afternoons 5 to 7. Right here on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX, Cave Creek, Phoenix, a division of Premier Radio Stations. It's 5